Hello, ho, ho, and welcome to day slash part 9 of the 12 Days of Tomfoolery. Say hi to the people, Kate.
Hi. So yeah, we have moved on to house 9, which is traditionally ruled by Sagittarius and Jupiter, very expansive house. It does cover quite a few things. Main points are travel, other cultures, as I said, very expansive, and spirituality and higher learning. So a lot of spiritual things fall in there, as does kind of like college or going off to college or expanding your knowledge into a new field of endeavor. Teaching is in there as well. So lots of good stuff. Get your syllabus ready. Tiffany, what are you going to start us off with today?
So for mine, I know I've been doing a few little like local traditions. Every time I do the episode, I talk about what we do as Americans typically at this time of year. So this time I'm just going to read a little article talking about a few unique Christmas traditions from around the world that aren't as murdery and scary, just for funsies.
Yeah. Switching it up. I was going to say, we talk a lot about Iceland and Germany as well. Those are our core.
Oh, don't worry. We'll go back around that area when I round us out. I'll still Fantastic. Be crazy later. It's fine.
Great.
So here's those unique traditions. So we may have many tried and true Christmas traditions in the U.S. Decorating our tree, cookies, presents. Some more modern traditions include Christmas movies and Elf on a Shelf. But some of the ways Christmas is celebrated around the world might surprise you. Once you learn about what happens in other countries, you may even want to start some of these traditions in your own home. Kaha to you. And
yeah.
you might want to skip. How about waking to find rotten potatoes left in your shoes by a mischievous Father Christmas? Or Kentucky Fried Chicken, wink at a previous episode, for your Christmas Woo-hoo! Dinner. So I am going to cover a couple things or skip them as we go down the article.
I prefer one of those more than the other. Hint, it's the KFC.
Massive hint. It's not rotten potatoes.
It's not rotten potatoes. Issues.
From Christmas by the beach with fresh seafood in New Zealand to hot porridge that keeps your families warm during the cold Finland winter, you'll discover just how different these global holiday traditions are. What's more, we think you'll wow your family during a Christmas party with all the following interesting Christmas trivia. Woo-hoo! I guess. But let's start with Sweden and give them an opportunity to redeem my creepness I've been throwing at you guys. So Sweden has the Yule Goat, and that has been a Swedish Christmas symbol dating back to ancient pagan festivals. However, in 1966, the tradition got a whole new life after someone came up with the idea to make a giant straw goat. Now referred to as, I guess, Gavle Goat? Unsure. According to the official website, the goat is more than 42 feet high, 23 feet wide, and weighs 3.6 tons. Each year, the massive goat, each year, the massive goat is constructed in the same spot. Fans can even watch a live stream the first Sunday of Advent until after the new year when it's taken down. So if you want to find that, I will post this article and you can click the link. Or if someone asks for it, I'll just post the link. No big deal. Now for the Philippines. If you thought the United States went all out with Christmas decorations, you should see what the Philippines does. Every year, the city of San Fernando holds the Ligligan Parul, or Giant Lantern Festival. If I pronounce it wrong, probably. Sorry. Featuring dazzling pearls, lanterns, that symbolize the Star of Bethlehem. Each parul consists of thousands of spinning lights that illuminate the night sky. The festival has been made San Fernando the Christmas capital of the Philippines. And Kate, when I tell you the image that they used is giving sacred geometry, it is.
Oh, so, I need it. Well, yeah. Post that for sure or send it to me.
I will. I'm actually just going to sneak over here and take a pic and text it to you right now. So high tech.
So high tech.
So high tech. I'm on the tippy tip edge of tech. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I don't know if I need to go into it super deep. Ooh, yeah, isn't that pretty? It's so pretty. I hope it spins.
I
want that for me.
That is very sacred geometry. Ooh.
See? Plus the colors are excellent. So,
of course, got the chakra colors in there. Oh, that's very... Ooh, I'm into it. Okay.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that.
Love it. Yeah.
So Japan, of course. I'm still going to talk about it because there's a couple cute little things they say. Although Christmas isn't a national holiday in Japan, an estimated 1% of the population is Christian, according to the Smithsonian Magazine. Its citizens still find an interesting and delicious way to celebrate. Kate, what would that be? What do we do in Japan again?
KFC, a recipe for seduction.
All right, check out one of our previous episodes to see what that's about. Mm-hmm. The tradition began as a marketing campaign back in 74, which was wildly successful and was called, I actually have the title, Kurisumasu Nuwa Kentucky, which is Kentucky for Christmas. I'm just reading how they wrote it out.
I love it.
The fast food chain has maintained its Yuletide popularity, causing some people to order their boxes months in advance or stand in a 2 hours long line to get their finger licking good food.
You know, and, I have to say, yeah, in an article that I read, it said the line was 5 hours. So I don't know which one is true, but either way, insane, right?
Maybe insane. The two people lived in different parts of Japan. And those yeah. were the times they dealt with.
Yeah, but either way, that in mind. It's a long wait for
yeah, your 12 5 days. Hours.
I'm yeah. Me too.
So Iceland, I may have mentioned a few things about Iceland and mm-hmm. some crazy things going on there in one, perhaps even three episodes, but I'm going to read it anyway. Similar to the 12 days of Christmas in the U.S., Iceland celebrates 13, and each night before Christmas, Icelandic children are visited by 13 Yule lads. After placing their shoes by the window, the little ones will head upstairs to bed, and in the morning, they'll receive either candy, if they've been good, or be greeted with shoes full of rotten potatoes, if they're bad. And you thought coal was a terrible gift. This article by Country Living is keeping it pretty laid back from what actually goes on there, but
yeah, no big yeah, deal. That is the G-rated version for sure.
While it may be true, I'm pretty sure they had to pass a law to keep them from scaring the shit out of their kids for a while. So, which I 100%. Covered in a previous episode, so go listen to it. Mm-hmm. Ho ho ho! Let's move on to Finland. I feel like they're gonna just be very chill about it. Yeah. So, on Christmas morning, Finnish families traditionally eat a porridge made from rice and milk, topped with cinnamon, milk, or butter, and whoever finds the almond placed inside of the puddings wins. But some families cheat and hide a few almonds so the kids don't get upset. And at the end of the day, it is customary to warm up in a sauna together. You know, they may be doing it right. We'll see. We've got a few more
I just learned about the Finnish saunas when I was up north this summer mm-hmm. with my friend Chris. His family has like a little cabin and they've got a sauna and like everybody has one there. And I was like, what are with all these saunas? It's so cold up here. Like what? And it was because it was populated by the Finnish. Like it's a huge Finnish community. So they've had them for hundreds of years. Hundreds and hundreds nice. And thousands. Yeah. So interesting.
Sounds right to me. I won't even fact check it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to slip into New Zealand. So because summers fall during Christmas time for Kiwis, a number of their traditions center around a barbie or grill where families and friends gather for a casual cookout of fresh seafood, meat, and seasonal vegetables. The New Zealand Christmas tree is the pahutukukawa, a coastal species that blooms a bright red color in December, providing shade during sunny days, and as they sing carols in both English and Maori. That is super cute. Denmark. Cute. Before Christianity came to the Danes, Christmas Day was a celebration of brighter days, Yule, as it occurred just before the winter solstice. Today, homes are decorated with superstitious characters like the Nisir, who are believed to provide protection. On the evening of December 24th, Danish families place their Christmas tree in the middle of the room and dance around it while singing Christmas carols.
Like it.
And now we're going to slip into the French Caribbean. The Martinique, La Ribote, or Ribote, I assume, is a long-standing tradition where families visit their neighbors during Advent. And on New Year's Day, bearing holiday food like yams, boudin, creole, and pâté salé, the pork stew, they sing Christmas carols together in the early hours of the morning, adding their own creole verses to traditional lyrics.
I mean, you had me at stew, so...
You had me at Boudin. My dad's side of the family is Louisiana, so I'm here for that always, all the time.
Love it.
So Norway. In Norway, the Christmas season is called Juleboard, and that begins December 3rd, filling up local bars and restaurants throughout the month. Families celebrate Little Christmas on December 23rd, and each have their own ritual for the day that may include decorating the tree, making a gingerbread house, and eating, pray for me guys, Risengrynsgrøt. Mm-hmm. Hot rice pudding.
Hot Ireland. Meal.
I mean, Norway is pretty cold, so.
I know, but. Ireland. I'm Irish. Woohoo!
You are Irish.
Leprechaunly.
Yeah, oh my God, Irish. Stop. Did you just come up with that, or have you said that before?
No. It started when I was at a 4th of July party, and I was like hanging out with all the kids, like the 3 to 5 year olds. And I was trying to tell the little like 3-year-old story. And I was like, I'm a little leprechaun and I'm 333 years old, like doing this whole voice and everything. And my friends were like cracking up. They were like, what is she doing over there? Because I was literally chilling with them for like half an hour. And then the 5-year-old girl like crosses her arms. And she goes, I have to interrupt. She's lying. I know she's lying. My dad is a leprechaun and she doesn't look anything like my dad. She's lying. She's not a leprechaun. And I was like, this bitch right now, like this bitch. I wanted to be like, yeah, you know what, Toots, your dad is lying too. But I didn't. I just was like, oh no,
you know what, I don't think he's your real dad because you're too goddamn tall.
Yeah,
fuck her up.
Exactly. You want to talk real Kate, rap kid, you want to talk real rap?
Kate, fuck them kids, Conley.
Yeah, exactly. That's my name on the streets. But my friend was really drunk and she was like, she's over there being a leprechaun, Lee. So I can't take credit for it, but it has stuck around. It's a good
literally
one.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And you know what? I am a leprechaun, so shove it, Emily, whatever her name was.
She sounds like a little bitch. Anyway.
Yeah, she
so
was.
The Irish leave a tall red candle in a front window overnight, a welcoming symbol of warmth and shelter for the holiday season. Traditional Christmas fare in Ireland often includes homemade roast goose, vegetables, cranberries, and, to no one's surprise, potatoes.
Potatoes. Yeah, gotta exactly. Be potatoes. I knew that was coming. My blood knew it. My Irish.
You felt I did. It in your Irish bones.
I mean, as you know, I self-identify as a potato. And like my whole body was like, we know what's coming. It's our time for the spotlight. Yeah, and some whiskey.
Staying true
too,
to
I'm
your
sure.
Highest self. Yes.
Yeah, which is a bag of Idaho potatoes. Yep.
Barbados. A Christmas table in Barbados is not complete without a baked ham decorated with pineapple and sorrel glazes, a rum cake,
yum,
and a jug, a dish inspired by Scottish influence on the island, combining pigeon peas, Guinea cornflower, herbs, and salted meat.
Yum.
Poland. On Christmas Eve in Poland, many families share oblotek, an unleavened religious wafer, each person breaking off a piece as they wish others a Merry Christmas. Dinner may not begin until the first star appears in the night sky, and traditionally, an extra setting is left at the table should someone show up uninvited. Sinterklaas, I assume, is a Dutch name for Saint Nicholas, the man recognized by children by his long white beard, red cape, and red mitte. Kids put a shoe by the chimney or back door and wake up on Christmas morning to find treats like gingerbread men, marzipan, and chocolate letters inside. Portugal and Brazil. Brazilian and Portuguese families come together Christmas Eve to eat dinner as late as 10 p.m. Then at exactly midnight, they exchange gifts, toast, and wish each other a Merry Christmas. Midnight Mass, or Missa de Galo, Rooster Mass, is a chance to meet up with neighbors and extended family to wish them well for the holiday season. The service is often followed by fireworks in the town square. Austria. We've actually covered a little bit of this. Alpine countries like Austria have a legend that a devil-like creature called Krampus joins their St. Nicholas festivities on December 6th. Children are asked for a list of their good and bad deeds. Good children are rewarded with sweets, apples, nuts, and bad children worry what Krampus might bring on Christmas morning. South Africa. While the traditions around South Africa vary by region and culture, most families come together for a cookout called brawing on the holiday. Marinated steaks and Boerewors sausages serve as the main course, followed by a customary dessert of mavla pudding served with custard. Traditional Christmas fir trees are decorated with a variety of baubles, including hand-beaded African ornaments. I would love to have that on my tree.
Yeah.
Ukraine. Orthodox Christians make up nearly 45% of Ukraine's population. They observe Christmas Day on January 7 by dressing in traditional garments and walking through the town singing carols. A dish called kucha, made of cooked wheat with honey, ground poppy seeds, and sometimes nuts, is a popular Christmas Eve treat. Some families throw a spoonful of kucha at the ceiling. If it sticks, there will be a good harvest in the new year. I would hate to clean that up. Mexico. All across Mexico, members of the church put on Pastor Elas, shepherd's plays, to retell the Christmas story. The Mexican Christmas season begins early in December with Las Pasodas, a religious march that reenacts the journey of Mary and Joseph. The vibrant red poinsettia flowers are often used in holiday arrangements for decoration throughout the country. And Switzerland. Swiss families make their own advent calendars for the holiday season. These calendars are given to children as a surprise or made together as a fun activity. Each day's bag feels a new surprise or treat, and with the biggest gift on Christmas Eve. And then finally, El Salvador. Central American countries like El Salvador toast Christmas with fireworks displays on December 24th and 5th. Children celebrate with smaller firecrackers called volcanecitos, which means little volcanoes, and estrellitas, little stars, while those who are a little older tend to prefer the larger varieties and Roman candles. And there's all our little fun traditions from around the world. I thought that would be something fun to talk about.
It is very perfect for the ninth house.
Oh, fun
to travel, 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 baby. I love it.
Miss Leprechaunly, what can we expect from you this fine Christmas evening?
Potatoes, potatoes, potatoes. No, no potatoes. I haven't eaten any potatoes today, sadly. Is that true? Yeah, it is true.
So sad.
It's a sad day. Okay, so I was looking this up. I literally looked it up like as a joke, but turns out it's not a joke. It's a real thing. Because I was like, okay, well, I wonder if there's like a Santa University. There is. There is a Santa University.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I went to the website for it. Yeah, I'll read you a little bit of the website. Yes. So if anyone's looking for a higher learning, if somebody wants to be a next level Santa, don't worry. I gotcha. My North Node is in the ninth house, so let me teach you. Okay. So the International University of Santa Claus, world's largest Santa school, which implies they're smaller ones, I guess. beginning our 20th year and celebrating almost 4,800 graduates. So there are 4,800 people that have official Santa diplomas. Yeah. There are in-person schools in Atlanta, Houston. So Tiffany, if you want to go, just a car drive away. Orlando, Southern. Drive. Yeah, but worth it. Worth it to be a certified Santa.
Yeah, you're right. So sorry.
I know. Yeah. Orlando, Southern California, and Northwest Boise. Like, that's a random one. The rest of, yeah. Like, I guess there's a high demand. I know. High demand for Santa education in Boise. I know. It's so funny.
Massive market. Don't worry.
Yeah. Boise is the most booming Santa market.
Oh,
I know. It killed me. Now, if you're nervous, if you're hearing this and you're like, but I don't live close to Boise or any of the other locations, fret not. You can also sign up for our home study course. So you can do this from home, guys.
Oh, thank God.
Yep. And if you're like, but wait, I'm a lady. Can I do it too? Yes, you can, because you can also get a Mrs. Santa Claus diploma. You can do either one, babies. And he calls the university School for Santas with a four, the number four. You can also sign up for their newsletter, which I did not sign up for the newsletter. But here's the little info they have about it. I'll read it to you. Okay. School for Santa, S for S, is different from other schools. Oh, yeah? No shit it is. As it travels to cities across the nation. While we cannot always be in your hometown, you will find that we will travel to regional locations that are generally closer to you than traveling to other schools. What does that even mean? Like, oh, I get it. Like, you can find one that's the closest to you. Okay. In addition to traveling all over the country with live schools, all of my training, 22 hours, has been recorded and produced into MP4 files, which now are available as our IUSC home study course. This includes the full two-day school, 16 hours, and the advanced day, 6 hours, with Making the Moment. Everything has been edited. Yep. And you can view it over and over. They want you to know, like, it's not just a one-time thing. This is yours forever.
Permanent unfettered access.
Permanent unfettered access. All the Santa you could ever want. Santa School for Santas is designed for both real bearded and theatrically bearded Santas, Mrs. Claus, holiday professionals, and volunteers. This is one of the most comprehensive schools offered, and the number one school taught by a professional Santa who shares his knowledge from over 50 years in the industry. You can't get much better than this when it comes to Santa education. And because of those who have attended and they're sharing with others, the school continues to be the most popular and educational training for professional and volunteer Santas and Mrs. Claus. Registration for the two-day standard school is just $309, but wait, $459 for a couple. So if you can get your boo-boo to go do this with you, you get a discount. Yeah. Your travel, meals, and lodging are not included. It's just the unfettered access and professional Santa diploma. This also killed me. Alumni rates are just $239 a person and $329 per couple and include the full course and diplomas, no course book. So you don't get another course book, but why would you need to go do it again? Right?
Are you sure that's why not would... alumni for like literally your kid? He will take up the mantle as I pass up. Like maybe they're being super specific about the verbiage.
I mean, I hope that you're correct. I hope that's it for a Santa son, following.
Son, I just want you to go to Santa U, please. We can't let them down. Dad, please, no. Just break character for one meal. No.
Dad, I got into Harvard. I have a full ride. No.
It is your divine duty. Oh, no. Hell no, no, no.
Yeah. I can't.
Oh. Wait, super quick sidebar that has nothing to do with this other than ho, ho, ho. When I was driving home from buying Christmas presents earlier, there was a house that had ho on the roof, and then it just had it to the third power. Like, there was a tiny three. And I looked at it and just immediately started cackling like a witch. I was like...
I love it.
I think they went to Santa U. I'm sure they learned that level of efficiency there.
Santa U, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit more about Santa U. So the 260-page course book is called Behind the Red Suit. And upon completion, everyone receives a diploma recognizing their attendance. Wait for it. I forgot this part. I'm about to answer my own question. First-time attendees receive a bachelor diploma in Santa Clausology. Second-time attendees are alumni and receive a master's diploma. Those attending more than twice... Third time's a charm, I guess. Receive an advanced master's diploma. So if you hire a Santa that has an advanced master's diploma from Santa U, wow, are you going to get some holiday
Is this like getting your pizzazz. Master sommelier pin?
Yeah.
After years of study.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I wish we could do a documentary on this, like Psalm, just called Claus. We follow... people on their journey to get their advanced master's diploma. Like, I'm going for the 8th year in a row, my man. Like, I need it. Wow. I need it.
I'm in awe of like that idea. I can't even. Yeah.
Me too. I really want to do it. For real, I want to do it. Okay. So everyone attends the school or purchases the home study course is automatically entered into the Red Suit Society. Ooh.
Oh my.
Yeah, and then it goes on a little bit more about this is funny too. You can get the advanced program for just $119 plus shipping, and this includes a thumb drive with 6 hours of training and guidelines on special events, posing, and making any Santa activity even more special for your clients. Any of them, as we've discussed, there's some sexy Santas. It includes the workshop.
They chose to use any. So
they said any. Yeah. So, yep. Okay. Well, that better be part of the curriculum.
I bet.
The work, Right? Like, okay, Santa, you need to make my moment. Making the moment includes almost 200 sample photos and diagrams, plus registrants receive a certificate of completion. But I wish I had an extra $119 because I need to know what these like sample photos and diagrams, like what are they diagramming?
I'm sure with this level of thought that they went into this, I bet you have to sign an NDA. Like, you better not show our school information and curriculum or else.
Oh my God. You can't proliferate the age-old Santa secrets of Santa U.
Can't. I wasn't prepared.
I know, it's amazing, right?
Okay,
so I know. I was like, so funny. When I saw that was, when that was like the first Google hit, I was like, oh yes. Like,
oh man, the jackpot. This is great.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's amazing, right?
I just want to make it clear really quick, even though we keep cutting away. This is the first episode we've shot tonight, but we're going to shoot all four of the final episodes back to back to back to back. So be nice if we get a little unhinged by the end.
Yeah.
We do it because we love you. Yep.
We're also just going to quickly, we're not going to go super deep into this, but we did want to touch on the other religious holidays that are most known in our culture, I guess. Just to talk about that, because Ninth House, as I said, is religion and to respect those traditions as well. So a quick little bit about Hanukkah. So I'm just going to read a little bit about Hanukkah's roots. Like many Jewish holidays, Hanukkah has several different legacies and meanings. First and foremost, Hanukkah is a historical holiday. It commemorates the successful rebellion in the second century BCE of a clan of Jewish freedom fighters called the Maccabees. These warriors rose up against, oh, now I got the pronunciation problem, Antiochus? Oh, that's what we're going with. A Greco-Syrian monarch who ruled Israel with a hard hand, banning Jews from practicing their faith and pressuring them to convert to a Hellenic way of life. Despite being vastly outnumbered, the Maccabees managed to recapture the Holy Temple, the premier site of ancient Judaism, from their oppressors. Hanukkah translates to dedication in Hebrew. The holiday pays tribute to the dedication of a group of Jews who believe fervently in their right to religious freedom, as they should have. Also known as the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah celebrates the miracle that occurred when the Maccabees reclaimed the temple. The sanctuary was a shambles, torn apart by Hellenic forces. The fighters found only enough oil to light a lantern, by which to read the Torah for one day, but the lantern blazed for a full 8 days. When the Jews light the eight candles of the menorah on the eight nights of Hanukkah, they recite a prayer extolling God for performing miracles. There's also a seasonal aspect to Hanukkah. Yeah, I know. Isn't that nice? It's pretty. In New York, there was, it was called like the mitzvah tank that would drive around, and it was like a giant, it had like a
mitzvah
giant
tank in it.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was like,
like an actual tank?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it was like, it stopped after a while, but when I first lived in New York, it was like everywhere around the holidays. And I'm not sure if it was, it had like a menorah. Yeah. It had a menorah thing around, Hanukkah, but I think it was I don't know, but it was cool. It was really cool. Sorry. That's a bit of a tangent.
No, I love it. I'm so glad you added that.
Yeah. It's weird. I haven't thought about it in years. I'll look it up after this and see what
just post it to the page and just say like episode 9 spoilers.
Because I wonder, I think it must have stopped because I don't remember the last time I saw it when I was in New York, so it must have stopped, but I'll look it up. Okay. So there's also a seasonal aspect to Hanukkah, celebrated on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislev. During the darkest days of the year, the candle lighting of the holiday is a warm, cozy ritual to banish the winter blahs. The focus of the holiday is not going to synagogue or reading the Torah, but rather staying at home with friends and family, which is very nice. Some Jewish people have incorporated gift giving and decorating into their Hanukkah spirit. Some families opt to give gifts each night of Hanukkah. Others may decorate their house with blue and white Hanukkah decor, including dreidels, cheerful rabbi figures, and other representations of the holiday. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, like most Jewish holidays, is a time to gather with loved ones for food, drinks, and shared stories. And then it goes into the five most traditional parts, which is lighting the menorah. The centerpiece of the Hanukkah celebration is the Hanukkah, I think is how you pronounce that, a candelabra that holds 9 candles. 8 candles symbolize the number of days that the temple lantern blazed. The 9th, the Samash, is a helper candle used to light the others. Families light 1 candle on the first day, 2 on the second, and so on and so on, after sundown during the 8 days of Hanukkah, while reciting prayers and singing songs. Songs is the next one. Yeah, Hanukkah comes with traditional holiday songs sung around the glowing menorah. These celebrate everything from the glory of God and the ancient temple of the Jews, Meoz Tzur, I think, to the simplicity of a dreidel, as in dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, O dreidel, I shall play. The third one is yummy fried treats, my favorite part of the Hanukkah celebrations I've been in. No, I'm just kidding. The whole thing's beautiful. There's nothing low-fat about Hanukkah. The traditional foods of the holiday are deep-fried, caloric, and delicious. In honor of the miracle of the oil at the center of Hanukkah, the story of the lamp in the temple burning bright for only 8 days, even though there was enough fuel to burn one day, Jewish people eat fried foods like latkes, potato pancakes, and I am not going to even try to pronounce this word, but it translates to jelly-filled donuts. And with my ex-boyfriend who is Jewish, I remember – I haven't thought about this in years. We made we spent like a whole day making them, and we came up with – God, I wish I could remember the lyrics because we got pretty drunk doing it. And we came up with a whole like latkes song that was like – bacon lock. I can't remember. It was so stupid. We had like 8 verses to it. The next morning we woke up and we were like, did we make an 8 verse lock song? And we're like, yeah, we did. It's written down in our like a drunk handwriting. Yeah, it was funny. Gosh. But they were good. Potato pancakes? Come on. They were good. When I say we made them, he made them. And I just drank and hung out with him in the kitchen. Maybe chopped some potatoes. The fourth part is spinning tops. It's customary to play with dreidels, spinning tops, during the holiday, even wager with chocolate coins on which side of the top will fall face up.
Oh, cool.
Legend has it that during the Greek-Syrian dictatorship in ancient Israel, Jewish students got around the ban on reading the Torah by bringing spinning tops to study sessions so their oppressors would think they were playing. The Jewish characters carved into the 4 sides of today's dreidels are the first letters, which roughly translates to great miracle happened here/there, depending on whether you're in Israel or not. And the 5th is the gold coins. The tradition of handing out gelt, the Yiddish word for money, can be traced back to Jews in medieval Europe who connected the Hebrew word for education with Hanukkah. Hiniku, I believe, is the way they said education. Parents would give their children gelt to present to their teachers, and in time they gave their children gelt to praise them for their studies. The practice is also likely a nod to the fact that the only time Jews were historically free to mint their own coins in their own state was after the Maccabean revolt, when Jewish kings governed the land around Jerusalem for a century. The coins distributed during Hanukkah, either real currency or chocolate-covered coins, are thus a symbol of Jewish independence. So there's Hanukkah. And then I couldn't find quite as much of a structure for this one, but just a bit about Kwanzaa. So the beginning of Kwanzaa, I'm not going to get into this whole story just out of respect, because it is such a layered story and it would take like a whole episode, and we certainly can do a whole episode on it. But I want to abide right by it and not gloss over things. So I'm just going to say basically what it was. This Kwanzaa was begun as a response to the Watts riots, or Watts Rebellion, which was basically a riot against mistreatment against African Americans by the police. So and all sorts of bad things happened. So this was a response to that, started by Dr. Maula Karenga, who was a professor of African studies, Kwanzaa is an African-American and Pan-African holiday which celebrates family, community, and culture. And it was created in 1966 after those after that event. Kwanzaa is a seven-day cultural festival beginning December 26th and ends January 1st. It joins communitarian values and practices of continental African and African-American culture. So kind of a blending of the two, a celebration of the two. And Kwanzaa is a traditional African word, but the second A was attached to it because there were seven children in the original festival and they wanted an extra letter for the kid because all the kids were holding a letter. Yeah. So they added the extra A. Yeah. During the holiday, families and communities organize activities around the seven principles. I really don't know how to pronounce these. So I'm just going to say the English ones so I don't desecrate because I do not know how to pronounce them. But it's unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. Participants also celebrate with feasts, music, dance, poetry, narratives, and end the holiday with a day dedicated to reflection and recommitment to the seven principles and the other cultural values, which sounds really beautiful. I want to celebrate Kwanzaa. That sounds like a really pretty celebration. So, yeah, we just wanted to talk about those really quickly.
So, I'm just going to round us out with who is Kanikt Upikt. I know for a fact I still said that wrong. I even had the wiki pulled up so that I could hit, how do I pronounce this? Listen to it 20 times before this episode and learn nothing. I am so, so sorry. I just don't have any
okay,
ear for
German. Okay, you Virgo MC.
Don't even start with me right now because who is Kanikt Upikt? He's St. Nicholas's Christmas time companion. So once again, we got to reference Krampus because, you know, got to give the people what they want in every article. So much attention is showered on Krampus this time of year. And it's surprising for many to learn that most Germans aren't familiar with the Krampus legend. Well, he's Austrian, so no surprise here. Anyway, being a Virgo about it, apparently. More common throughout Germany is Kanikt Upikt. Who is Kanikt Upikt? Is he a helper or a demon? And how does he fit into the St. Nicholas tradition? Well, the concept of Kanikt Upikt is a Christmastime dark helper. He has been around four centuries. And the name, I'm just going to start saying it to the best of my ability and stop trying to pronounce it and enunciate it. Kanikt Upikt shows up on paper relatively recently. Let me see if I can help you understand this familiar sidekick of St. Nicholas. Who is he? There are various origin stories for him. The word Kanikt in German means servant or farmhand, and in a sense, he does act like St. Nicholas's helper. Since they travel together and he does all the heavy lifting, some say that Kanikt Upikt is wounded foundling that St. Nicholas rescued and raised. Others say he's a wild man with horns who comes out of the forest at Christmas time, a dark elf, to help St. Nicholas. A more obscure legend comes from a story about St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas arrived at the inn and discovered a horrible crime. The innkeeper had killed three boys and stuffed them into a pickling barrel. St. Nicholas brought the boys back to life, and the innkeeper was punished by being forced to work alongside St. Nicholas as Kanikt Upikt for all eternity. This will sound very familiar when I talk about another person two episodes from now, which is interesting because I thought I'd read this already. But anyway, so St. Nicholas brought the boys back to life, and the innkeeper was punished by being forced to work along his side as Kanikt Upikt for all eternity. So, growing up with the legend. So this is written in a firsthand point of view because it's a German Girl in America blog. It is her page. So, as she was growing up, I was taught that the Christkind brought gifts on Christmas Eve and that St. Nicholas brought treats on the night of December 5th. But like most German stories, there was an element of danger or warning, a scary balance to the sweetness and light of the malevolent gift givers, and that was Kanikt Upikt. Who is he? He is a wild man with a bushy beard dressed in a hooded brown cloak. In his hand, he carries a large stick. There's a theme here with these demons slash evil people and kids, but she wrote, all the better to beat you with. I like her sense of humor. and at his waist is a child-sized bag. Again, very in theme, a lot of these European countries are. Perfect for carrying off kids who have been bad. Some stories say that he has bells tied to his waist so you can hear him coming. Another thing that I feel like was in a previous episode, want to say the Iceland episodes.
Feels like that's pretty stupid. Why doesn't he take the bells off?
So she actually answers this right here. I'm convinced that part was added by parents who felt they needed to instill fear, but who didn't have or could afford a costume. So they just get a family friend to go outside their house and ring bells.
With some bells?
Yep.
It's amazing. Wow.
God damn. I want American kids, if they wish they shouldn't listen to the show because I swear too much. If you do listen to the show,
yeah, me too.
Appreciate your American, relaxed, laid back, selfish style upbringing, because kids are absolutely going through it and you need to be nice.
Had to be laws put up because they were traumatizing these kids. So, yeah. You got it easy over here.
It was pretty bad, guys.
Pretty intense. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So, when St. Nicholas came to the door on the evening of December 5, Neh Rupecht would be by his side. He was the muscle of the operation. St. Nicholas would open the big book, see if the devil had written anything about you. Then Neh Rupecht would make sure that you knew your prayers. If it was a bad year, he would give you a switch or a lump of coal. Or worse, stuff you in his sack and take you away. Kids who had been good and who could recite the Lord's Prayer and perhaps some other verses were given apples or nuts as a treat. As an aside, some parents actually frighten their kids by having someone take them away to scare the heck out of them. I've read quite a few accounts where people remember being taken or having a sibling taken out to the woods for a good scare, air quotes.
Oh my God.
I cannot imagine that flying with Child Protective Services these days.
Yeah. I don't think so. No.
Eesh. Although tales of St. Nicholas's helper have been around for ages, it wasn't until the 17th century after the Protestant Reformation that he is mentioned on paper by name as Neh Rupecht in Nuremberg. There he is listed as part of the Christmas procession, the perfect balance for the sweet innocence of the Christkindl. The Christkind can't possibly punish bad children. Dark and scary stories are not usual in Germany. Using threats of dire consequences was standard way of keeping kids in line. They took a look at the original Grimm's fairy tales and remember the Struwelpeter, which was written because Heinrich Hoffmann could not find a book for his three-year-old that had correct moral teachings. So these dark stories come from a time when the world was at a scary place. The woods were dark and dangerous. Starvation was a reality, and children who messed up could put the whole family at risk. We may see it as an unnecessarily frightening, but at the time, it was a way to keep the kids alive. Today, parents still make sure that he visits their children alongside St. Nicholas. And as you see him at Christmas markets and at Christmas events around Germany, he may not instill the same terror that Krampus does, but those bells that stick were certainly enough to keep this kid, mostly, in line during the holidays.
Wow.
And I know this episode may be a little long, but I don't want us to miss out on this very cute and short poem for Neh Rupecht.
Can I just say something real quick, though?
Sure.
There's a plot hole in this because all of these like scary things that are tagged on to St. Nick completely doesn't go along with who St. Nick is. Like, you know, he's this great guy who's bringing kids back to life. Like, say, I don't think St. Nick's gonna be like, and here's my gang of child-eating cannibals that hang out with me, right? Like, it just doesn't fit in with the character arc to me.
Well, maybe that's the burden that we pay by having the ability to see every side of the coin as we go down our 12 days of tomfoolery, Kate.
Maybe. Yeah, that's my thesis. That's my, I've been pontificating about this.
Your third Christmas eye has been opened and now you can never go back.
It's 100% true. It's 100% true. I'm having a mistletoe Kundalini awakening for sure. I can never go back to the way things were.
She can never go back.
Never.
Okay, so real quick, I'm going to talk about Neh Rupecht, the poem by Theodore Storm. From out of the forest I now appear to proclaim that Christmas time is here. Now speak, what is there here to be had? Are there good children? Are there bad? And that's it. That's just the final verse. That's all that was added to the end of the story. But I thought cute way to round out her article. So I read it anyway.
Very cute. Very cute. And I think this is a perfect time to end this. But right before we do, I just had this thought right as you were finishing that.
Tell me.
Perfectly. This is going to be the longest of our Christmas episodes by a long shot. Welcome. By like quite, you're welcome. But you know what else? That's actually really perfect because it's the ninth house of expansive journeys and it's ruled by Jupiter, who, what does he do to everything he touches? Expands and makes bigger. So we just were blessed by Jupiter this episode. Just a little bit bigger because it's Jupiter's house.
I love to hear it.
Yep.
So can you just give us a quick little Christmas time salutation to the people, Kate?
Oh my God. Again. To your family, stay true. Enroll at Santa U. Merry Christmas.
Blown away. Happy holidays, guys. I can't improve on that.